The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? What's up? Throw down your questions. Episode 387. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, man, shout out to Piggy Dan for the bits.
You know already, man. Kind of ruined the intro a little bit, but that's okay, because that's money, you know?
It's a good cut.
Yeah, exactly. Brett Murdoch.
Hey, everybody.
And joining us once again, Mr. Brian Majoma.
What up?
All right, Adam may be back later. He's watching, what is it, Hell in a Cell, right?
Hell in a Cell!
Get that son of a bitch! So, yeah.
Austin!
You know? All right, man. Back with another. Oh, bits again. Mob hits this time with the bits. Making it rain, you know? Thank you, guys, man. Appreciate that. The love and support and all that. Throw down, man. All right. Without further ado, let's get into it. Questions. And I like the fact that most of these questions are very timely because some things did happen this week and some things will happen next week, of course. You know, so let's get into it. Bob Hitz, speaking about my hit, Bob Hitz, he starts us off here. Is Street Fighter VI's mix of hip-hop and urban aesthetics, along with its new features, enough for Capcom to become the king of fighting games again? I don't know about that. That's... Because to me, let's go back a little bit. The hip hop stuff, that's been done. Street Fighter 3 did that.
That's true.
Yeah, like literally the theme song was a hip hop song, you know?
Yeah. Select your character, give it.
And Tony, when was Street Fighter 3 again?
Yeah, like Jesus, 25 years ago, you know? Yeah, it's like you trapped in a new world, Street Fighter 3. You know, it's like we've done this before. We've done this before, so that's nothing new.
We did retro the first time it was retro, man. Yeah.
I'm gonna say this. Okay, you're going all in on hip hop and the graffiti. How come the new main character isn't a black person?
They have like the new hip hop girl in there, you know.
No, they didn't even show her.
No, they didn't.
The whitest white boy is the poster child for this game.
Yeah, that is true.
It's literally happening in New York, like the New York-ish place. You know, which is, I think it's Metro City.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Come on, man. Like, literally.
I mean, because they want their cake and eat it too, man. Like they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to be like, yeah, we want to really capture this demographic without being seen as scandalous in any way or not being able to, like, I don't, wasn't there something with, like, China being super racist?
I was about to say, they probably want this to sell in China.
They wanted to sell in China, yeah.
Also that. I mean, yeah, because the first guy is the whitest white boy on the planet. And then the second dude is like the most Asian-looking Chinese guy on the planet. So, I mean, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds like China.
Yeah. it sounds like they want to do it. Anyway, that was my only little thing. I'm like, come on, man. No?
Yeah. But Mop Hits, he's in the chat, obviously. He just wants to know if the hip-hop thing works. Yeah, everything works for Street Fighter. You know, it's a global thing. You know, like anything works for it. Really?
Well, I mean,
and again, we've done this before. We've done this before.
My only thing about the hip hop thing is that different types of hip hop are, I think sometimes it can date the thing.
It can't. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like
if
you're going back all the way up to Street Fighter 3, the hip hop that plays in there is pretty dated. It was even dated for.
It was dated back then. Yeah.
So I mean, granted, this seems like a little bit more current, you know, like obviously, you know, you have Guilty Gear is doing all the heavy metal stuff. And I guess, you know, Street Fighter does all the hip hop stuff. Though I feel like that's the only thing I can see. I would have wished that they have picked something a little bit more timeless than current hip hop. But who knows? It, you know, kids like that stuff. So that's what they're going for.
Yeah.
The kids like hip hop.
The kids are like the hippity hop. I mean, you know, it's hip hop is the most popular music right now. No question.
Here's my question. Like, wasn't the whole thing like Street Fighter like they kind of clash amalgam of cultures? Like you had
That's
different
the way
kinds
supposed
of
to
music.
Be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Like, and I personally, like, I wish they would do that kind of thing. Like, why can't we just appreciate everybody and not everything everybody brings to the table instead of kind of trying to mix it all up?
I do want to say that this is just based off the initial trailer. We don't know what the actual game will be. Like. So I don't want to jump to that conclusion.
I know. I actually have a little bit more substance than that. I just want to say, like, I don't think that any game has ever... I know every game wants to quote unquote be the king of fighters, but really it's lightning in a bottle, man. Like, you can't manufacture it, and it's unpredictable. So, like, will they, you know, take the crown? Like, I mean, it's possible, but chances are no, because it seems like every time makes a vibe for, like, oh man, like the competitive gaming community is gonna love this, and we're gonna exploit the fuck out of them with it. It never fucking catches, man.
Yeah. Again, you know, we'll see. Here's the thing about Street Fighter. It's like, even despite the problems Street Fighter V had, that was still the biggest game at EVO, you know? It's still, like, the biggest game in the fighting game community. So this is...
Let me clarify that. Are we talking what is going to be the biggest of the new titles at, like, EVO? Or are we talking about like, you know, when you look back on gamers, it's the GOAT?
You're right. Like you said, that anything goes. We have no idea. Who the hell knows? I would say, and this is something Carlos has said many times, this is the last piece of the puzzle that Capcom needs to truly be back, right? They're on point with everything except fighting games. They get this right, then we could say Capcom is officially enjoying a second golden age, because they're killing it with everything else, basically, except fighting games. That's where they fucked up. They fucked up with Marvel Infinite, right? Street Fighter V wasn't all that, you know, in terms of sales. So this is their chance to get it right. But just based off of what we've seen for his trailer, it is too early for us to make that determination one way or another. You know, we don't know. Like you said, Brett, we don't fucking know. It can happen. It cannot happen. Who knows?
Well, will they do like they did last time and just release the online versus mode and not a single player or arcade mode in there?
Yeah, no, they better not fuck that up. You know, I'm very upset about Ken though. It's like, damn, Eliza left them and shit and took the kid, bro. Oh. You know, because he was trying to be more like Ryu.
He's been drinking far too much.
Yeah, I think so. Apparently, he can't even do a Shoryuken correctly. Like the fire sputters or something. It's like, fuck, bro.
Damn, well, come on, man.
Like, why are you doing this to my boy Ken? You know, but
you gotta make him. Well, they're further trying to separate Ken and Ryu. You know, like, even with five, they started working, changing a lot of their moves quite a bit.
Well, I like that they're like, what's American? Divorced and hostile custody agreements.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's either do that to him or do it to Guile, because they both are family men, right?
Yeah, right.
That's what Guile's like, go home and be a family man.
Yeah. By the way, Mob Hits also snuck in another question. Goes, what location in New York City would you like to see a level be inspired by? It's Metro City. We don't need an actual real world equivalent. And the thing is, Street Fighter has had already a bunch of New York-esque inspirations in it already. We don't need another one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, you already see that we'll call it Metro Square.
Metro Square,
with the Mike Hagar statue.
Yeah, we've seen this. Yeah.
I have one.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, you guys remember like the import dock where you fought like the Honda? I want something kind of in that vein. Yeah. I want it to be New York Subway. And I want you to fight a giant rat.
That'd be hilarious.
But in Street Fighter 3, you did a.
You had a subway level in Street Fighter 3 already. But it was Street Fighter 3, right? I don't know.
There was rats hanging out in the background.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Street Fighter's already covered the gamut. We even had a construction site in Street Fighter Alpha 2 with Rolento's level, you know?
There was also a construction site in Street Fighter 3. That's where
bridge?
A bridge? I'm pretty sure we've had a bridge in Street Fighter somewhere. Wasn't Street Fighter 5 have a bridge?
Like Brooklyn Bridge or Manhattan Bridge?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to start seeing like they've
Yes, Alex Stage. Thank you. Alex Stage was a freaking subway.
It was a subway.
Yeah. I told you it was a subway.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Let's get more imaginative then. Like, how about an IKEA or Ryu's kids soccer game?
There's only two IKEAs in New York, though.
It doesn't even have to be an IKEA or New York. I mean,
the question was New York. That was the question.
Yeah. I'm just saying that I said that they've done everything.
Yeah.
Everything in New York, but they've also kind of done everything. They're going to have to, like, you know, this one's in a Baskin Robbins now.
Yeah, they could do that. Yeah, some like strip mall in the Midwest or something. You know, you could do that. Why not, right?
Dude, I would actually like to see that kind of thing. You know, it's like, ah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, all right, we already had Vegas in the Street Fighter 2, you know.
I mean, yeah, Vegas appeared multiple times. Mm-hmm. I mean,
not done anywhere?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Street Fighters has done a lot, you know.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to think of what they haven't done.
And then I think Street Fighter V had a Brooklyn Bridge looking level.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So yeah, they pretty much covered it all.
They've hit it.
Yeah,
underpasses and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
a bathhouse in Street Fighter II.
That's right.
All right, man. Let's move on. Next question, also from Mob Hits.
Hits.
A little bit of a prediction question. I guess it's appropriate enough, right? What will we and won't we see during quote unquote E3 week, which officially kind of kicks off this week? Summer Game Fest, obviously. Xbox's thing.
Oh, that's all this week?
Yeah, that's all starting this week, like later on this week. So go ahead.
What are we gonna see?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who the fuck knows?
I mean, to be honest, If it is another Snorfest, I want to call it the Slumber Game Fest.
Yeah,
there we go.
I'm expecting a lot of microtons. You know.
Yeah, especially whatever.
Remember last year? That shit was like, what the fuck?
Especially with the way Keeley was like, yeah, we're not gonna. There's not gonna be any first party stuff or whatever. So,
well, Keeley had like one or two announcements last year, and everyone lost their minds. And it overshadowed the fact that the rest of the show was just not good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I guess all I can hope for is three good announcements this year, hopefully. From the Summer Games Fest, the Microsoft one is a lot harder to predict because they got so much stuff, but also
so little.
So little. It's like, I mean, they can show Fable, but they probably won't. They can show that Playground Games or RPG game that I forgot the people who made Fallout New Vegas is working on, but they probably won't. They're probably gonna do some Halo Infinite stuff, and Starfield. Who knows? Redfall. Who knows? It's kind of tough with Microsoft to sort of try to predict what they're gonna do.
Yeah.
Since you know a lot of stuff is delayed. The Activision stuff hasn't kicked in yet.
So here's what we have. We have Summer Game Fest starts on June 9th, right? We have Tribeca Game Spotlight on June 10th and the Xbox Bethesda Showcase on June 12th. So, yeah, that is starting this week. That's starting on Thursday. So I guess we'll be talking about Summer Game Fest on that show. But, yeah, I don't know.
And I guess we'll talk about the Microsoft one during this show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Sunday. So make sure you ask us those questions, people, you know, during the show or after show. But, yeah, again, I'm so, like, not invested this year when it comes to all these gaming shows. I don't care, to be honest. You know, like there's nothing really for me to get hyped. I already saw what I wanted to see. Final Fantasy 16 last week. I'm good. You know, whatever else they show, whatever. Do you think they'll give us a Starfield beta? But it's not a multiplayer game, not that I know of.
Or maybe like a demo, probably.
I doubt that.
I mean, I don't think so.
I mean, have we ever seen? We've never seen a demo for Fallout 3 or Fallout 4 or Elder Scrolls, have we?
Not that I recall.
No, they just dumped them out.
So yeah, beta or no beta because it's not a multiplayer game.
No,
and they don't have a history of releasing demos, so highly doubtful there.
Well, do we know it's not a multiplayer game?
We don't, but we're assuming that. To be fair, thank you for asking that. We're just assuming that. That'd be kind of fucked up if it is a multiplayer game. I would lose absolutely all interest if that's the case, you know? So no thanks. But we don't have any indication that it is a multiplayer game. We're assuming this is just a regular Bethesda game in space, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, maybe we'll see. I don't know. Everything's delayed now. I don't know. I honestly have no fucking clue. And I guess the rest of the panel doesn't either. Sorry, guys. Normally, during this time of year, we would give you the full rundown. What's Sony going to show? What's Microsoft going to show? We would have a bunch of shit to talk about. We got nothing this year. We got nothing.
Yeah.
We don't know. Well, you know, maybe we should just look at the NVIDIA list and see what's on there.
Right.
The they seem to be good at predicting stuff that, and saying it's not true.
So, yeah, apology, guys. We got nothing because who knows? We got nothing. Sorry. All right, moving on here. Next up, Black Mage. And if you're listening, Black Mage, yes, I will ask your question from last week because, Brian, it was actually addressed to you. But I was like, let's wait for Brian. But that's at the end of the show. We'll answer that one. Okay, so his question is, it supposedly costs $110,000 to fully upgrade a character in Diablo Immortal. As VGC says of Video Game Chronicles, the game utilizes, quote, legendary gems with which players can't purchase outright. Instead, they are dropped from legendary crests, which are the game's loot boxes, end quote. He goes, the fuck? How long will it take until the fandom is up in arms and tries to shut this down? Here's the thing.
Because they won't do it.
They won't, because mobile gamers are used to this type of shit, you know?
Yeah, you're going to see people just blowing shitloads of, you know, money off it, because it's not for gamers as much as they would want it to. They really want to catch the people who have cell phones and do that stuff.
Yeah, they're trying to catch those people.
I know that Adam was like, oh yeah, it feels like a Diablo game, and da, da, da. But it's like, in the end, it's really just the rope-a-dope to just get you to pay money to get in.
Yep, yep, exactly. But, oh, Black Mage is in the building. What's going on, brother?
All right. What up?
Yeah, stick around. We'll answer Brian's questions later on. But, I don't think so, because I don't think this is me making a gross generalization right now.
Yes.
So please forgive me. Gross generalization coming up. I don't think the vast majority of people who are playing this game will be the hardcore Diablo people. Some will, like Adam, obviously, right? I think the majority of people who are going to be playing this are going to be just regular phone clicky people, as I call it, you know? That's what I consider those games, probably clicky games, you know?
Yeah.
So those people, they're used to that. Oh, let me pay $5. Let me pay this. Pay that.
I will say this. The original, you know, way that Diablo works, it is sort of conducive to click controls, because if you remember the way Diablo worked is you click on a location and your character will walk to it, you know, to hit it or whatever. So I mean, it does work out, and I can see why they did it for there. But at the same time, they're going with the free to play, you know, pay to win thing.
Yeah, basically. Oh, hold on. Chacleta Mangu, what's going on, brother? Hanging out in the chat. Yo, Armando, we got to get you back on Throwdown, man. You're right. It's for that crowd. That crowd will not be upset. They're used to that shit, you know?
Yeah.
And the hardcore Diablo guys, they're not playing this for the most part.
You'll see every so often, you'll see like some parent will be like, why do they, you know, my kid spent $1,000 on this, you know?
You should have had those locks in place, motherfucker. Like, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, no, don't expect any outrage. No. All right.
Only time you'll ever get any outrage is if it's actual gamers playing it.
Yeah. Or, you know, if you announce a mobile game during BlizzCon.
Yes. As Adam said before, they really shouldn't have made the whole thing about that, because that's not the people going to BlizzCon. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you know what? Like Adam rightly said, it was really for the shareholders they did that. But it's like, you could do that in a separate release, not during the middle of your biggest show with a bunch of nerds there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it ain't going to fly with. They're going to go, oh my God, a mobile game. This is great. You know, you could, man, you remember that EA we went to when they were showing mobile games? You heard people just going, oh,
you like, know, oh, like, what the
fuck? We were outside. We heard that shit, you know? Like, come on. But, you know, gamers don't like that shit.
No.
See, logic wins. You already know what's up. He goes, honestly, as a parent, you shouldn't really give kids access to your credit card. Yeah. But the thing is, like, if the payment's already locked in there, they can just hit click and go. You know, you got to be careful with that shit.
But you know, here's the thing, like, you know, logic, most parents are not like you or the people in this panel. Most people are like, you know, to shut their kid up, they'll sit them in front of it, put their credit card number, and then just leave them alone with it. They'll keep on, because they have no concept of money, and less of a concept of money when it comes to credit. They'll just keep pressing the button to keep winning.
Yeah, that's even worse. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, man, let's move on here. Whoa, sponsored question so early in the show already. Romudeath once again. He is the king of sponsoring questions from specifically from Mob Hits. So the question here is, if most PlayStation first-party games will eventually make it to PC within a year of release, will this be enough to have the hardcore PlayStation fan base consider switching over to PC? No. It won't. Again, PC gamers and console gamers are kind of two different beasts here. You know, it's not going to happen like that. You will get some. Don't get me wrong. Some guys are like, fuck this shit. I'm going to wait for PC. You know, but these are already kind of people who are already in the PC gaming space. You know, they'll be like, oh, fuck this shit. But like,
hardcore
console guys, they're not doing that.
Yeah, hardcore console guys aren't going to do that. Joe Schmo is not going to do that. The minute they see how much a fucking PC costs just to play one game, they'll be like, fuck that. I'm buying a PlayStation or buying an Xbox.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'm going to toss in a Syrian Air Force's question here because it's related. With Xbox and PlayStation releasing titles on PC, what is the need for a PS5 and Xbox Series X when the only competition for PC is Nintendo? Again, not everybody's going to fucking build a PC, you know?
Yes, exactly. You're like who like, okay, yes, and for if you're gonna, like, you can possibly go down to the local Best Buy or, you know, online, you do something, but that's already a lot of trouble than most regular people want to commit to.
Yeah, they just want to buy a box with game that
they want to buy the box and it plays the game.
So. Yeah. Not build the box or do all this other stuff.
That's purely why you're seeing this because there's such a separation between the two. You know, there's the guys who like to tweak the game and, you know, make sure they have the highest end graphics and all that stuff. It's like the equivalent of selling, like, you know, a really fancy car that you could mod the fuck out of, right? And then just the Jetta. You know, the shitty, the car that gets you to work, you know, or at least, you know, or at least maybe a little bit more of a high end one. Maybe you're getting yourself one of the new Dodge Challengers or something like that. It looks nice, but you can't do all the shit that you can do with the others. So, yeah, if you're willing to spend the time, you'll definitely get the best out of whatever comes for PC. But most people, they just want to go to the store, buy the box, buy the game, or whatever, and then them to be done with it.
Yeah. By the way, the guys in the chat. Oh, go ahead.
No, I totally agree with Manny. Like, sometimes people just want to buy a box that plays the games.
That's it.
If only some type of that, like, existed for PCs, where you can, like, buy a box, it plays the games, and maybe, like, you can hook it up to a TV, or maybe take it outside to rooftop parties.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because the guys are in the chat already talking about it. They said you could either, you know, build a PC or get one of these, you know, Steam Deck boys. Brian, is this what you were talking about?
I would say the biggest step.
By the way, what's this? You buy this once and that's it. You don't have to build it. It's right there for you.
See that right there? That is what puts the PC into the sights of the general audience.
Yes,
it's the one box right there that pretty much does anything. You can connect it to your TV. It has a store that's connected to it where you can buy all your games on there. So there you go. That's it right there. And that's what they should have done maybe, was it 5 years ago with the Steam Machine or whatever the fuck it was called? Whatever the hell that thing was?
Yeah, Steam. Was it, Brian, what was the name of it? Steam Machine, right?
Yeah, the Steam Machine.
Yeah, and there was literally five of them, right? Different manufacturers and stuff. Yeah,
exactly. They should have spread it out like a 3DO. They should have, like, had made a general commitment and putting it out themselves and making that the one that they put out. Not like 10 different versions of it. Just
one.
Well,
that's why the Steam Machine, I'm showing this shit off. And by the way, people, if you need to ask, this is not a review copy or thing. This is mine. I paid it with my own money. I pre-ordered this shit in July last year like everybody else. And it's fucking magic. I love this.
Has anybody asked you about this said machine?
Not yet, but they can actually. No, somebody did ask me. We'll answer that a little bit later. Somebody did ask me what I think we can do a
segment with just Q&A.
We're kind of running through these questions anyway. I think Black Mage. So yeah, we could do that. By the way, official review coming from Tom's guy for your boy. Oh, so be ready for that soon. You know,
damn.
That's
already
it.
On it.
Already, man, because we had a first come first serve thing on the site. We're like, yo, whoever gets this shit first, you review it first. So I'm the first guy, you know? No, I'm not playing that shit on the train. You crazy? They're going to rob my ass. You know?
Oh, no. The minute they see that shit, Steam they'll be Deck, like...
Listen, I'm taking it to the office for the pictures. Other than that, I'm never taking it outside of my apartment. That shit stays here, you know?
No way, man.
Fuck that
shit. Not on the subway, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably won't even know what the fuck it is. They'll be like, yo, man, is that a Switch?
Yo, let me get that shit.
You know? Is that the new? Is that the Switch Pro?
Yeah, it's a Switch. This motherfucker got a Switch Pro, man.
Yeah. I mean, granted, like the trip from your place to Manhattan isn't that rough.
No, but
it's not like you're going all the way. You know, like you don't roll through too many shitty ass neighborhoods when you're going through that line.
But the subway, it's the train. You want to play it safe. You don't want to be stupid. You know.
Yeah, you know, I honestly don't think that this thing like. Yes, it's portable. I don't honestly think it's meant to be played on rooftop parties and fucking subways. Like here, I think it's meant to be mobile around the house and easy to bring over to a friend's. Which is I've noticed mobile shines the most.
You could bring it. I mean, it comes in a nice case and all. It's meant to be taken.
No. I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying you can't bring it. I'm just saying. It's big enough that I don't think you're just going to whip it out in your daily commute kind of thing. Like, I would say
longer trips. Like, let's say you taking a plane trip somewhere or if
you're
really long train ride or, you know, something like that. Like,
I think you'll use it kind of the same way you would use a laptop.
Yeah. And again, you know, circling back to this question, it's a nice entry point to get it to PC gaming. Obviously, not every game is compatible, but it has a good amount. I was playing Command & Conquer on this shit.
Shit, really?
Yeah. I was like, let me try this shit out. Because the thing is, the screen is also a touch screen. So I was just doing that shit. You know, it was great. Nice. And the, the track pads are really good. It's don't get me wrong, it's not one-to-one. It's kind of a little bit clumsy, but I was able to do it. You know, I forgot how fucking awesome the music was in the original Command & Conquer, by the way. Holy shit. You know? And your boy was playing as Nod. You already know. You know?
Fuck yeah.
But let me test an RTS on this shit. So my point is, like, great entry point for PC gaming, you know, because I do suggest, you know, that people, if you can't afford it, get into PC gaming. You're going to get the best of everything. But right now, and this thing's like, what, $500-something, a little bit more than that. Steam Deck is great, but I'll tell you more about it later. But as for PS5 guys migrating over to PC, like wholesale, it ain't going to happen. You know, it is not. All right.
No, they just say that they care about it. They don't actually care about it. It's ammunition, man.
Exactly. All right. Oh, here we go. Jay Shep. Okay. In an article written by VGC, second time he's come up tonight, Take-Two's CEO stated that he agrees with Sony that having games on a subscription service day and date doesn't make sense economically. Based on the lack of AAA day and date third-party games that have been on Game Pass, it seems most publishers in the industry also agree with Sony. My question is, with Microsoft's inability to create AAA games and third-party publishers reluctant to put their AAA games on Game Pass day and date, what is Microsoft's end game strategy for Game Pass? We've said this before, and Microsoft has flat out said it. Their end game is to get billions of people on Game Pass via this, cell phones, you know, and mobile devices. That's always been their end game. Obviously,
TVs.
Yeah, exactly. Like tablet, whatever, right? That is their end game. They've always stated this, and we've agreed with that. Like, that is what they want. If they could somehow tap into that market, a billion subscriptions to Game Pass will be, that's it. They're good to go, you know?
They're looking to be the Netflix of gaming.
Yes, exactly.
Or maybe now Disney+.
That's what they hope. Will it happen? We have no idea, but that's what they hope happen. You know?
Well, to point out, what he's saying isn't untrue, but it's also the kind of thing that that changes the more subscriptions that Game Pass has, right? Like, the larger audience they have, the more attractive it is for somebody to kind of take that. Like we've heard from developers that say it's a good deal, it's a good gig. And the larger that install base gets, the more it's going to attract the attention of, you know, the larger games, right? And if in some bizarro world, nobody's going to hear that if, but in some bizarro world, Xbox suddenly made up 51% of the total market share, right? Well, then all of a sudden you have saying like, well, you can make it exclusive or, you know, day and date with us and, you know, you've already hit a larger single market than you're hit anywhere else, then that becomes even more appealing. So it just becomes this kind of exponential draw. Yeah, right now it's not so great, but as they build their audience, and I mean, even now it actually is pretty great. It's what, 16 million
subscribers, million? Right?
Yeah, like something like that.
15, I think. I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's got a lot of fucking subscribers. And, you know, with that meant, you know, when you say, hey, we're going to give your game away to free to, you know, 10 million people, then the check that you get reflects the theoretical, you know, $10 million sales, not directly one-to-one, I'm sure, but, you know, the wider audience that you have, the bigger the check is going to be and the more enticing it's going to be. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, no, no, you're right for, I totally got lost. Anyway, go on. I forgot what I was going to say, the point I was going to make. I do know the point I was going to make. Okay, so here's the thing. I kind of, this kind of ties back into what we were talking about before, right? Mobile gamers are not the same as console gamers, right? And Brett, you've said this has happened to you before, right? You saw a dude on in your tattoo shop playing a mobile game. You showed him the Switch, which plays, like, for lack of a better term, real games, and he wasn't interested. He wanted his clicky game, you know?
Yep.
So it's going to be hard to reach a billion people when most of those billion people just want to play stupid little clicky games, you know? So that's going to be a hurdle. Like, it's going to be hard to get those people to play actual games, you know? And by the way, I'm saying actual games as a shortcut. Obviously, these games are real games. I'm just using it as a shortcut. You know, it's a shorthand.
But I'm also maybe not exactly so much, you know, the mobile gaming market, but essentially being a window for people who don't have a lot of money, who can't really afford a full-on Xbox. It's like, yeah. I own a really nice tablet, and that thing runs it on my screen, so theoretically I can play my games that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, or like how they're saying, like, they're going to put it inside of TVs, or they're going to be putting it inside of TVs. Essentially being like, all right, we know that you don't want to invest inside of this, you know, instead of buying a console or anything like that, but it's already in your TV, and if you pay this little bit of money, you can get all these games, all the games that everybody wants to talk about, streamed to your television.
Yeah. By the way, Kishak said he'd made like a alteration to the question, but it was after the fact because we do have a 10 p.m. cutoff point. The question is, can Game Pass still be sustainable with only Microsoft AAA games day and date? Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? And the thing is, and I'm even adding further to it, can it be sustainable when you don't even have that? Because right now,
how many studios they buy?
Yeah, but I'm talking about, look at the current situation at the moment, you know? So it's looking rough right now with Game Pass.
I mean, we haven't seen the breach of the dam yet. Like, and I'm not saying, like, you know how big it's going to be, but we haven't seen them start to release games. If they had released some and then, you know, things went dry, you know, I think the discussion would be different and, you know, super valid. But we haven't even seen Starfield is really their first big frontline AAA game, you know, of acquisitions, isn't it?
It will be one of them for sure. No, but you're right. Like, once we have to go into theory land right now, even though it will happen eventually.
And bullshit land.
You know, no, but, you know, it will happen eventually. Once these studios start cranking out games, then it will be more appealing, but we're not there yet. You know,
yeah. We've been saying that for years now.
Yeah, I know. So that's
we've
that's
been
big
waiting
problem.
For this goddamn thing to break. We're waiting for the levy to break for fucking
Led Zeppelin. Let's go.
It's you know, it's funny. It sounded like when people used to say, "Just wait till E3." You know,
I hate to say this, but that seems to be the mantra of the Xbox gamer: wait till this, wait till that, motherfucker. We just wait. Nothing's gonna happen. You know?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, again, like, I feel like a lot of this stuff is also unforeseen stuff, you know, with the Rona and the general delays and all that sort of stuff. So it's sort of, it really put a
I'm telling you, man,
into what they're doing. I mean, granted, though, they are, like, I did notice that they are trying to make some third party, you know, like, day and date, you know, things like, you know, whatever big, you know, third party game is out there, it's essentially comes out. You know,
Sometimes, not all the time. Yeah, and then now, if Xbox Game Pass keeps losing steam, right? You know, what will companies even want to do that? Third party companies, I don't know.
I feel like there's just, it's sustaining itself or whatever. But I think, yeah, it's like it were again. We're still waiting for those for all that stuff to come for fruition. It's weird because it's like they made those things. It's too bad they didn't do this, you know, earlier, because it seems like for a lot of those, it seems like when they made these decisions to pick up these studios to do these games, I feel like they weren't fully in motion when they got them. You know, like Double Fine was still in the midst of developing, Psychonauts 2. You know, they weren't working on anything. So, like, how was it? You know, or maybe they had something in the lines, but it was like, I don't think a lot of these studios had anything waiting in the wings that was going to be able to drop at any point close to when they got acquired.
Yeah. No, you're right, because they were just developing things. They weren't, you know, they didn't have anything ready to go. But again, yeah, that man, I've always said this, it's rough being an Xbox gamer. You're just always waiting, you know? And then things you do get, you get
Halo Infinite stuff.
Now, hold on. As somebody who rides both sides of the line, it is disappointing all the way around. Now, definitely more on the Xbox side, but like the whole industry wide, not looking.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But I'm saying mm-hmm. in general for years now. I'm not just talking about now. Even for years, like being an
the
Xbox
whole of
gamer,
last generation.
Yeah, like being an Xbox. Yeah, no.
Last generation was fucking tough on the Xbox game.
They literally launched a cornerstone console with no big game to go with it. How do you? I've never heard of any company ever doing that. Where they just literally put out the console because of whatever, you know, because of delays and all kinds of other sort of stuff. They didn't have that cornerstone game to be like, this is why you want an Xbox or, you know, whatever.
I mean, everybody was in such a rush to get it to market so that, you know, nobody else beat them to market by, you know, too large of a margin, that it all came out undercooked.
And then I feel like for Sony, I feel like they had a lot of stuff, you know, there at the beginning. Be like, okay, this is why you should own a PlayStation 5. But at the same time, a lot of it was weakened because of the fact that most of those games were available on 4 or Pro. But yeah, I feel like they had a lot more. But then again, once they blew their load, that's it. Now both Sony and Xbox are in the same boat, waiting for that one thing to be like, all right, this is why you should own this thing.
Well, there's this also critical thing that I think, even when you're talking about Xbox versus PlayStation, you're talking about a different situation when Xbox literally doesn't have anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could be talking about, you know, oh, Nintendo has these few games, and Sega has these few games, and, you know, I really prefer the Sega games. Right now, Microsoft literally has nothing enticing anybody to the ecosystem. So really, and it doesn't even matter how quickly they get out. Like, they almost just need to come out with 3 well-received big budget games. You know, the first one they come out with, people are like, oh, a good game came out on the Xbox, right? And then that's kind of it. The next one that really comes out and sticks, people are like, oh, there's another one. I remember that first game I wanted to play. And then when that third game kind of comes out, that's when you're like, okay, now there's enough content on the ecosystem to actually possibly get some people to migrate over, right? But you don't have those killer apps. You don't have any reason to entice anybody into the ecosystem right now, other than promises like, oh, it's going to be great. We're like, yeah, no, I believe it. Bethesda's got to release games at some point, and I'm sure as shit not going to miss them, so I bought an Xbox. But I think they need to get those 3 big titles. And when they do, we'll be able to then have an actual discussion about, you know, who's got the stronger game plan, who's got the stronger lineup, what their strategies are. But at this point, we're taking predictions before, you know, somebody's even come onto the field, which ends up being an exercise in futility.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's still important to point out that fact, because if we're just going to stay here and pretend like things are going to be rose petals and fucking fairy farts, then we're just going to be doing this constantly and not putting anyone into account. And I feel like
Go ahead. The only reason to buy an Xbox is if you're a big fan of one of their acquisition companies. Yeah. That's right now. That's it. Because you know that company is going to make a product, and it's only going to be on Xbox. Other than that, if you're not a big Bethesda fan, man, or you're not really, you know, really waiting for the next Wolfenstein with bated breath, why are you going to buy an Xbox?
So, it's a good question.
There's a lot of promises.
They got Activision now, you know, so.
They got Activision. They got Ninja Theory. They got The Initiative. They got Coalition. 4-3, They got what's it called? The people who made fucking Banjo-Kazooie that now makes Avatars and Sea of Thieves. They got them. So they got Double Fine. They got a bunch of fucking studios, and you know they got Playground Games. So it's just, you know, they have all of these assets, and it feels like we've been in this lull for such a long time. Even last year was their whole big splurge, and really the only thing that to me that they have to show for is Forza Horizon 5 and Psychonauts 2. Yeah. Freaking Halo Infinite was a mess. They didn't even come out complete, and this year, who knows what the hell they're gonna do? And just going back to the whole discussion about Sony and their first party games and sort of day and date, it's just two different strategies at this point. Microsoft, obviously, we talked about how last generation they didn't really have all of those titles, so they had to work on something that can entice people and bring in the revenue, and that's subscription service, that's Game Pass. Having all of the old games, having third parties after a certain amount of time porting over to Game Pass after, you know, all the potential sales have passed, and the Xbox first party games coming there as a bonus, that's a more enticing thing for Microsoft for sales than Sony is, because Sony and, you know, Nintendo is the best at this. They have IPs that you know are going to sell 5 million plus. You know God of War is going to sell 5 million plus. You know Last of Us 3 is going to sell 5 million plus. Most of their games are really, really good selling games. So, and Spider-Man as well, you can add this to this category. So they're going to see the fruits of those sales, you know, from day one until people stop buying them. And now they have their next strategy. That this is their pivot, is the whole PC thing. Miles Morales and Spider-Man Remaster, it's going to sell 5 million plus day one on fucking PC.
On my PC?
On my PC? Because I'm buying one of them, dude.
Yeah, you're right. I probably will be too.
I want to see what Spidey does in 120 frames.
Yeah.
I want to see what Chris wanted to see when fucking Mark Cerny said we're gonna zip line with the speed of light through Manhattan.
It's crazy, man. Xbox. All right. Next question by Jay Shep. With the incident where Sony quote unquote accidentally charged gamers in Asia for PlayStation Plus, and now reports of GT7 Legend cars price increases, why is Sony so money hungry, and will Sony gamers ever tire of Sony's greedy ways? Oh, man.
Greedy ways.
Hey, by the way, here's newsflash. They're corporations. This is what they do. They want to take your money.
Corporations are like this, man. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear they're all looking to get money out of you. They're not your buddies.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's not actually binary here.
They'll all put their hand around your shoulder and say, "Hey, we love you," and then stab you right in the back.
Do that and then, you know, reach around, take your wallet. Kishak said it right there. That's all companies. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, to be honest, like, here's the thing. I would have to say this as a consumer. Make your voice heard about this sort of stuff. You know, like, if this is something that you, if these are things that you enjoy, and it's things that you don't like, you know, say something about it, because the public has to say does affect what Sony does, because they were about to close down a PlayStation 3 store.
But see, there's the problem. Like, if you kind of classify it as binary, you know, if like, oh, that's just how corporations are. What's the point in complaining to a corporation that's just going to do corporation?
Public opinion is also part of it, and that's why they don't say certain things, and that's why they're very careful about why they don't openly blare out a lot of microtransaction-y things, you know.
Also public perception is most of the reason why Nintendo gets away with all the bullshit they do.
Yes, because the public perception of Sony, Nintendo was like, they're the kids company. You know, we love them. It's so strong for them that it even, you know, like, they could literally be raping you and everybody would be fine because it's Nintendo doing it.
Yeah, I mean, their fan base is a little bit sycophant. But what I wanted to say was, I don't think that you can just say all corporations are like that. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big fan of corporate America. Not fucking at all. But I think that different corporations have different motives. And that's not even video games, right? Like some chair manufacturers want to make as many chairs as possible for as cheaply as possible. Some chair manufacturers are trying to make artisanal chairs and get 5-star reviews, right? Like some are focused on customer experience, some are focused on cost. And sometimes those can align and sometimes they don't align. But I don't always think like it's not always predatory and bad. Like some companies, not big companies, mind you, but like maybe like a small video game company, right? Like a AA or AAA, even a smaller AAA studio might say like, okay, maybe we're trying to fucking the Souls series, for instance, right? Like they're like, yeah, we're going to make money, but we're going to make money by making our customers happy instead of making them unhappy and squeezing money out of them. Yeah, that doesn't necessarily make them a good guy, but that means that makes them a little less bad and their interests align with yours. And finding the least bad one is really the goal here, I think.
Yeah, but I also think that also the messaging has also changed within Sony. They've become a lot more cold when it comes to, you know, the cold and sort of take it or leave it sort of mentality, or you accept what we give you kind of thing, especially when Jim Ryan took over. You know, I feel like a lot of the previous regime of PlayStation had seemed a little bit more approachable and less full of themselves.
And I think that's what it is. It's who's helming. Like a company is just a name for a group of people making decisions. It's those people making decisions that, you know, like classic Nintendo was run by different people when they weren't really quite so dickish, right? Like they still did some shit things, right?
To be honest, yeah, no, Nintendo has never changed. They've always been fucking assholes.
Yeah, they were literally they were literally trying to play, you know, essentially sue Blockbuster for selling used games.
Or how they strong-armed every third-party developer into only making games for them and nobody else. Yeah.
They're the reason Galoob doesn't exist anymore.
Nintendo's always been thugs.
Terrible example, but you know what I mean.
It's like, you know, you just got to make sure you have a really smiling, fatherly-looking guy at the front of everything. Just be like, oh, it's okay, you love it. It's for the kids.
We could take PlayStation, for example, as Manny said, like kind of really took a turn when Jim Ryan took over, it seemed like.
Yeah, we all agree with that.
But you also noticed the same hubris before that when they were coming from the PlayStation 2 era to the 3 era. You saw the same sort of like, take it or leave it, get an extra job, you know, that sort of shit. And then as soon as they changed their tune, as soon as the chess pieces started, you know, started to be moved around, then the messaging started to change. Oh, we're about the games. We're about this. We want to make you happy. PlayStation Plus. All that shit came in the time after when they were sitting on the stage with their chins up like they're the top dog on the street.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it took Microsoft essentially doing the other side of it, being the underdog coming up and being like, you know, talking to developers and trying to get as many games onto their console as possible. And you come to the 360 era, and then you're like, you had that, so here you go.
It's cyclical. Like, just never cement your allegiances, right? Like, just look at who's giving you the best deal. Be like, cool. Their interests seem to align with mine for now. And then just kind of wait until they don't. And then you Game of Thrones that shit.
Yeah.
Just red wedding that bitch.
Yeah. All right. Move on here. Kishak, who's also been joining us in the chat tonight. His question is, does anyone else hate how gamers always keep hyping themselves up whenever a show like State of Play or Nintendo Direct is announced? I swear, gamers have the worst reading comprehension. A publisher will say something is not appearing on the show or that the show is focused on one particular thing, but then gamers get upset when that thing they obviously knew wouldn't appear doesn't show up. Mm-hmm. You know how many people I saw on my timeline this week upset that they didn't show God of War when Sony clearly said this is a third party and VR showcase? They said this. People, where's God of War? Mm-hmm. God of War is neither third party or on motherfucking VR. You know?
No. You can't expect people to read, Tony.
Yeah, it's insane. Absolutely insane. You know, so, and this always happens. Nintendo, same deal. Hey, we're having an indie direct. Where's Breath of the Wild 2? Like, they just told you it's an indie showcase. You know, it happens all the time. And I don't get it, man. It's annoying because, I mean, other fandoms do this too, but it's like, it just seems like gamers, like, everything's about overhype and just, you know, getting amped up for, like, everything. You know, it's like, everything needs to be a bombshell, you know? It makes no fucking sense. So, yeah, it's frustrating.
It's not a bad thing. It's just how you react to that hype not being there that's the problem. And, you know, it's... Maybe it's more complicated, and it's you know, optimistic, hopeful people can hope for things, and then if that thing doesn't come, they kind of just go like, okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and look forward to this other thing now, right? So maybe this is a thing of like hopeful people getting non-optimistic people's hopes up, because like generally the people who hype, you know, they're not really the super salty type. And the super salty type aren't really generally the people who are super expectant. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on there, but like it's not the hype that's the problem. Sometimes all you can do is be excited about something in the near future to get you through to the next goddamn day. So yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's the flip side of how fucking petulant and entitled people act when they're disappointed.
Yeah,
also,
that's my point. It's like, what do you say about these guys who... after the shows, every single time after the shows, complain like crazy, making YouTube videos complaining. It's like they told you what to expect. And I've noticed that more companies are doing this lately because of the fact that motherfuckers get themselves so overhyped. But that doesn't seem to work either. They literally tell you, hey, we're not going to be showing this. People go, why didn't you show that? You know?
I mean,
go ahead.
I realize I'm playing devil's advocate, losing side here, but I mean, could it be that they're saying like, yeah, we realized you said that you weren't going to show it, but you still, why didn't you show it? Why did you say you weren't going to show it? Or is it just like, I expected to see this, even though you told me I wasn't gonna.
I think
if that's the case, it's just because people have terrible reading and comprehension skills, and they just don't want to take the time and didn't do the research. People are dumb, man. People are dumb and angry. And they
dumb and angry.
they devolve into mob mentality on certain social platforms, man. Like, especially Twitter just becomes this fucking dog pile of dumbness. Tony's seen it before. Mm-hmm. He's poked
seen
that
it right now.
You know.
By doing absolutely nothing.
Yep. So, Xbox.
What?
Yeah, I got the Killer Instinct fan base after my ass now. Sorry, that franchise was never that hot. Yes, it had a blip in the 90s. It had a little blip when it came back, but that's it. Where the fuck is it now? I don't take back what I said. It's the truth, you know? Anyway, go on.
Tony, it's a heavy hitter. It's a heavy hitter.
It is a heavy hitter, apparently, to two dudes, you know? Oh, what about the 10 million people that were, you know, playing it on Game Pass? Yeah, on Game Pass, bruh. Okay.
Dude, that reminds me of when I told Robert Kirkman that I enjoyed Battle Pope.
Yeah.
And he's like, nobody read Battle Pope. And I was like, I read Battle Pope. He's like, great, you and three of your friends.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Well, that's Robert Kirkman for you.
Yeah.
He's got the comebacks.
Yeah, you know what? No, you know what? The Order 1886 sold 5 billion copies. Okay, that doesn't automatically just make it popular. Where's the Order 1887, 1888? You know, where's Killer Instinct, season 4?
Why do we judge when we have such successful ad campaigns that so well manipulate people? Why are we judging the success of a game based on the sales numbers that it generated day one?
Exactly. That's my whole point. Yes, Killer Instinct sold a lot when it came out on Super Nintendo. It sold a lot when it came out on Xbox. Where the fuck what happened after that?
Telling me is there were a lot of disappointed fans.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, you know what else sold a lot too? Cyberpunk 2077.
And they're making a sequel to that.
Yeah, well, you know, we are getting an expansion, you know, after they fix this.
I swear to God, if they're working on a sequel, I'm going to just go to...
Yeah. Anyway, I don't even know what the hell we were talking about anymore. Well, overhype. Stop it, gamer, stop it.
Oh, by the way, just...
do what I do and just set your expectations to the bottom. Because think about it, I went into that show thinking it was going to be complete garbage, right? I was pleasantly kind of surprised, you know?
Well, the issue with these people that overhype it is they... Well, these people is that they don't read the fine print that we do, and also they're all consist on their own little echo chambers of hype.
Yeah.
So when they see their own influencers, you know, YouTubers, their Discord servers, their Reddit threads, they're all hyping up, like speculating. Oh, is Sony gonna have Final Fantasy 16, God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn 3, and The Last of Us Remake. And everyone in that post is speculating. Everyone on his Discord server is speculating. Everyone on his DM chat with a bunch of Sony fanboys are speculating. Then that's how you harbor. It's like a harbinger of fucking hype, of ignorant hype, especially in the face of evidence that says this probably won't be here in this type of show. But they don't see that. It's not that they can't read. It's that they just never. Their little echo chambers don't allow them to have visibility of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. The echo chamber just feeds into that, you know.
Kind of like how politics works.
Yeah, pretty much. It's crazy.
I've had myself up on stuff before. Like, it is just gotta not be salty about it. Like here's the thing. Like, if I really want to hype myself up about something, I'm gonna get really hyped and I'm gonna plug my ears and go la 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 and play all the way through it. And then once I'm done, I'm going to listen to the criticisms and be like, "Yep, you're right. I noticed that." Or, "Hey, I hadn't noticed that. That would have completely ruined my game experience." Like, wait till after you're done. Like, take the thing, enjoy the fuck out of it. Get you know, even if you're just convincing yourself you're having a good time, cool. Just then, you know, pull your head out of the sand and make an actual critical judgment. Listen to other people's arguments. And take that into account before you go on the internet and just open your damn mouth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't legitimately be like, "I'm excited for this thing, and I'm going to enjoy this thing." And sometimes it does take a little bit of like, "I'm going to try real hard not to notice this thing," because let's be fucking honest. There's only one game I've ever known of that lived up to the hype. And it was Elden Ring, and I still can't believe it.
I agree. I agree. Like, what? That's, how? Yeah. It exceeded it, to be honest.
Yeah, and well, it was weird watching it happen in real time, because like everybody's mind was just blown. They're like, "I mean, I was excited for this game, and I'm not disappointed. I don't really know what how to feel."
This game literally made me rethink going to New York.
Yeah, and remember when the game first initially launched, right, and everybody was saying it's a masterpiece. I'm like, "You motherfuckers need to chill out," right? And then like 2 weeks later, I'm like, "I think these guys may be onto something." You know?
Yeah, like, dude, even as a fan, I remember being like, "All right, I love Soulsborne games, but you guys need to calm the fuck down. Dude, this is a bit much. And then I played it and I was like, "Oh god, this might be like one of the best games ever."
Could they be right? What?
Yeah, it's like, "Oh shit, now it's my current game of the year," you know, so, and, you know, probably the best Soulsborne game. It's fucking great, you know, but that's very few and far between. You know, a lot of games are not worth getting overhyped for because they're mostly disappointing.
I don't know if you could say few and far between, because, like, it's just one.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other games that were, like, definitely successful. I've never seen a game be that hyped and still, like, come out the other side undamaged.
Yeah.
It's true.
No, you're right, man. You're right. All right, let's move on here. Dumeke, who is actually not in the chat tonight. Very surprised by that.
What's up with that?
You know?
Oh, you banned us.
What's going on in New Zealand?
Yeah.
He's doing his thing. He's probably, you know.
It's all good. In Hobbiton?
In Hobbiton, yeah.
There you go. In the Prancing Pony.
Not bad. I'm just concerned.
All right, so his question is, the Mega Drive 2 Mini or Sega Genesis Mini 2 is on the way with 50 games from both Sega Genesis and Sega CD. He goes, "Sign me up, as I have already the Japanese Genesis Mini." Cool. Sega confirmed it was looking to do Saturn and Dreamcast, but current chip shortages / chip costs have made it too expensive at this stage. If they do eventually make a Saturn and then a Dreamcast Mini, what would each of the panel's top three must-have games for each of them be? Ooh, it's a fun one. We've answered a variant of this. But, Sega Saturn and Dreamcast.
Oh.
Well, Tony, you would know Saturn.
Saturn, I think Tony's the only one that can answer.
Right? So, obviously, the first one is Panzer Dragoon Saga. Gotta have that right off the bat, right? I would say, and I'm trying to go for games that are like haven't been released yet. Burning Rangers. That's another one, right? Shit. And this is where I'm getting into trouble, because I'm thinking about a bunch of games, right? And just for the fuck of it, see, I was going to say something like Clockwork Knight, but it's like, Bug would be good. Or what about an RPG that hasn't been released yet? Shining the Holy Ark, because that was like the first RPG I actually really, really played. I'll go for those three for Sega Saturn. By the way, am I the only one that's going to go with Sega Saturn here? Like,
I mean, yeah, you know, because I yeah, never owned
because Dreamcast. Everybody could jump in on that one. So those are my Saturn picks for sure. So
for the we also have for the Sega CD.
Oh, Sega CD.
The Mini 2 is going to have it.
Yeah. This question is specific for Saturn and Dreamcast.
Oh, Saturn and Dreamcast. Okay.
I had the Tower of Power. I could afford the fucking Saturn.
I was pissed that they made the Saturn.
Oh, yeah.
I had the Tower of Power and the Saturn. I don't know how the hell I convinced my mom to do that shit. You know?
Yeah. I mean granted, you know what it was? The Tower of Power was a slow...
It was
a slow thing,
yeah.
Yeah, you bought those things.
And you had a Dreamcast? So you somehow convinced your mom to be like, hey, I'm going to spend all this money on Sega stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that Dreamcast, that was my money. That was my money by then. That was the first console I actually bought myself. But I don't know how the hell I convinced her to buy me Genesis, Sega CD, 32X, and a Saturn, you know?
Yeah.
Be like, well, the last one didn't work, so maybe this is the one that catches.
Dreamcast. Let's see. Power Stone, right? Gotta have Power Stone,
of course.
I'll mention this, even though no one's gonna mention it, but I loved this game when it came out. Even though it doesn't, I'll admit that it doesn't hold up. Sonic Adventure. I used to fucking play a lot of that.
I
love that game.
That game needs to be under. I would put it under. Here's the thing about Sonic Adventure. Like literally 2 years after it came out, I replayed it. I'm like, whoa, this is not age well at all.
And we both like kicked the hell out of that game.
Yeah, we did. We got everything. We got 100% in that shit. This was before trophies, you know? Yep. But it was like literally like a 2 years later, I was like, Manny, this game don't hold up so well. You play like, you know?
I was glad that I did all that.
But it does need to be on a Sega Dream. It does, because when you saw that fucking whale stage at a demo, you were like, what the fuck is this shit? You know?
On that bridge?
Yeah. Oh, a Syrian Air Force, my man.
Oh,
Skies of Arcadia. Let's fucking go.
Oh, absolutely. That would be my choice.
Saturn.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. The only thing, that game hasn't had, like it has had releases. Like, it was for.
Came out on GameCube, yeah.
But, like, it really hasn't had, like a really nice, you know, like, release. Part of it is because Sega lost their shit. They lost all their fucking.
They lose
their
code. So, like, Sega, stop doing that shit. Jesus, that's why we don't have. That's why we don't have Sega Saturn. That's why we don't have Panzer Dragoon Saga, because they lost the fucking code. You know,
the only version they can really port is the GameCube one.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Some improvements and changes.
Hey, Brett, here you go. See, man.
I was actually about to say, I demand that they include Seaman sheerly for the weirdness factor.
Yes. Crazy Taxi.
Jet Grind Radio.
You already know. You know.
I don't know if Midway is still around, but I would throw Ready to Rumble on there.
Yeah. There you go.
The boxing game.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yep.
Do the Capcom fighting games count? Because they had Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah, Capcom. That was good.
But then they ported those.
They ported those. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to stick to games that haven't been exactly ported. You know. But Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was pretty clutch on Dreamcast.
I guess you can. Yeah, I mean the Shenmue games.
The Shenmue. Shenmue.
I'm sure those aged well.
They did not.
Did they port Grandia 2? Because I played it on Dreamcast.
Oh yeah, they ported it. Okay. But yeah, that game was fucking great. You know?
It was great on there. Yeah.
But
they didn't port Sword of the Berserk though.
Sword of Berserk.
Oh, dude.
Soul Reaver, that was the best version of Soul Reaver that was on Dreamcast.
Yeah. Shout out to Adam. He would agree on this. The NFL 2K games before.
Hey, you know, EA NFL.
They got the NFL license and then everything went to shit. Then I got to do the FUD and MUD and, you know, got blacklisted.
They banned me.
They banned me for trying to make a living. But those 2K games, especially the one that had Randy Moss on the cover.
Yeah.
That was my shit.
Awesome. All right, good stuff. All right, moving on here. Last two questions also by Black Maid. First one. So this one's from last week. Brian, this one's specifically for you, man. He goes, I just read that all future content /DLC has been canceled for Elite Dangerous. Also, the mapping database, EDSM.net, I believe, has been archived. Is this the beginning of the end of Elite Dangerous as a whole, or are consoles being cut in order to focus on the PC side, where there is a deeper community? Addendum, as of June 1st, FDev is allowing a one-time transfer for consoles profiles to PC. So, Brian, what's going on with Elite Dangerous, man?
Yeah, this is actually a really funny situation. Well, funny depends on how you look at it. So ultimately, they started out doing like the PC game, and then eventually they created the console versions of them. And I think it was last year, they released one of the expansions called Odyssey. And basically, it's basically an expansion that allowed you to walk on planets and have atmospheres on planets and stuff like that. So the main issue with Odyssey is that it was just really bad performance-wise on PC. It just caused lots of problems and people having lots and lots of issues. So initially they had cancelled it for consoles because they were like, hey, let's focus on the PC version until that's stable and good, and then we'll work on it for the consoles. And then like weeks later the account said, you know what, we'll just cancel the expansion for consoles since it's just going to be like too much hassle and too much work and it's just not going to work out. And then from there, they turned around and said, hey, you know what, let's just cancel development on the consoles because, again, it's just way too much stuff on their plate.
Makes sense.
And then they turned around and said, okay, like to make up for it, anyone that has it, anyone that has it on consoles, you get like a one-time copy on PC so that you can transfer like all your stuff over, which is an act of goodwill, I think. It's still kind of really shitty, though. It's really not a good look. So I think it was just a case of them just working on too many things because they're also doing, I think they have like another project in the works. So it's like a small team and they're spread out way too thin. And I thought that they just should not have done that in the first place. And yeah, the whole thing's just not looking all that good. So it's a big shame because I was excited for the ability to like walk on planets and have atmospheres and stuff. So
will we get that now that they're only going to focus on the PC?
We'll get it with Odyssey, but that's about it because they're just working to fix that at the moment.
Interesting. I think that was a good move, to be honest. Like, you know, focus on the console, the platform that works
that
best.
Makes sense. But
yeah,
it's funny. If you bought it on console initially, do you have to buy another version on PC now?
No. I don't know if there's like a time window, but there is the ability to get like a PC version for free. I think it's through Steam. So they give you like a one-time code and then you can get the PC version if you want, which is fair enough, you know, but still kind of shitty.
Yeah, for real. That's how it is. All right. And the last question here is for me, actually.
Whoa!
Toady, how is the Steam Deck?
Uh-oh. Time to full screen yourself, yeah, son.
Let's do that, man. So are we doing a review? What are we doing? You know?
I guess we'll hit you with some questions.
Yeah, you guys will hit some questions, you know, as well.
I have a quick thing, which will segue into things. How was the unboxing experience?
It was good, actually. It was nice and let me put myself on. It was, you know, I don't have most of the boxing. I threw them out already, but it was pretty good, you know. I should say it came in this nice sturdy.
Oh, you got the case.
Oh, it's got a case.
Yeah, man. Nice. You know, I was surprised. I didn't think I was gonna get the case, but let me turn the shit on so you guys could see.
Yeah, didn't you get the lower model?
I got the middle one.
The middle model. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you heard it. So there's kind of bad to see here, but
it's blue.
But yeah, look at all these games, man. You know, so this thing is cool. It feels really sturdy. The buttons are really nice, and like the thing I want to say about this, and this is probably what I'm going to call my review. This is the Nintendo Switch for adults. You know, like it's just really well built and stuff. I like the track pads here. You guys can see they work very, very well. You could click on them too, so they're kind of like buttons. Also, if Riku was here, he'd appreciate the fact that there's back buttons here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This thing gets loud, by the way, you know, for obvious reasons when it starts overheating and stuff. I will say one thing, as if you're coming off a Nintendo Switch, you're going to be fucked up by the buttons because you're going to start pressing B where A would be, you know, for the Nintendo Switch. But no, this device it feels premium, you know, and it's like heavy, but not like stupid heavy, you know?
I will say, is it heavier than a Atari Lynx with all the batteries?
I'm gonna run God of War on this shit right now.
Oh,
Let's go. One cool thing about this, some games, not God of War does not, but like some games have a, like, you know how like when you go to graphical settings, they have like low, medium, high. This actually has Steam Deck mode. Some games do, which is pretty cool. Look at Sony on my, look at this shit.
Yo, man, that's not a Vita.
Yeah. PlayStation Studios on Steam. Ain't this something? You know, don't get mad, fanboys. Don't get mad. You know,
somebody's gonna hug their God of War edition PlayStation and be like, "You stole it from me."
Yeah. The speakers sound really nice. I need to look into the specs of those, but they sound really nice.
So I have to ask, have you had a chance to like check the battery life?
Yeah, it's about, I want to say, a little under 3 hours. I based that off of, because when I played for 1 hour straight, almost nonstop, it went down to 66%. So that's like 3 hours, you know. Look at this shit,
oh,
man.
Cool.
Who's that? Who's that? Oh, wow. Times, man. It's crazy.
Who that?
Who that? Who him?
Man, you already got his fancy armor on.
Yeah, because I beat the game already, you know.
You beat the PC version.
Oh yeah, I reviewed it, you know.
Oh, okay.
You guys,
but did you get the platinum? No,
those were platinum.
There's no such thing as a platinum.
So right now it's, you know, because you could also configure it. So if you want as much information as you want. So right now I have the frame going. Right now the game is running at like 41 frames. Usually it's around 30, 36. God of War on normal settings. If you go to low settings, it's like the same. So I'm like, I'll just keep it on normal.
So God of War, does God of War have a Steam Deck?
It does not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it does not.
But so look, I'm curious. God of War looks pretty sick. People in the chat are saying it looks good. I'm curious, man.
Yeah.
How does Cyberpunk look on that?
Oh, let's fire it up. I was actually surprised by Cyberpunk. Let's fire that up, you know?
Well, didn't Digital Foundry, when they did their test, it actually that the Cyberpunk ran probably the best on the Steam Deck?
Because it does have a Steam Deck mode.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it does have a Steam Deck mode, so I put on that. I was surprised. But let's do this now, because I didn't know you could put the FPS counter before that. So let's do this live. We're doing it live.
So while you do that, Tony, I'll ask you another question. Have you gotten stick drift yet?
Yes. Yes, the thing's a piece of crap. Yeah. So the only part that gets warm is right here in the back. And again, if I run this more, you're going to hear the fans and stuff. And the heat is like kind of, it's not brutal, but it's heat. You know, here's the thing with Cyberpunk. You know how you have to like sign up and stuff?
Yes.
So.
Oh, yeah. I just skipped that shit.
Yeah. So what you got to do is just, you know, click on it like that, you know.
You got a touch screen?
Yeah, it says it even tells you like if you're not using a mouse, just click on the screen, you know. So right now, just click on play. You even see a little mouse cursor show up. I don't know if you can. Yeah, you can see it. So it's cool. Like I said, I was like, wait, mouse cursor. Let me try an RTS on this shit, you know.
Mm.
So there's Cyberpunk running on a Steam Deck.
Have you tried the touch pads?
Yeah, they're great. They're great. Yeah, like I said, that was the only real way of playing. Command and Conquer with the touchpads, but I did a combination by the touchpads and the touch screen. So right now, yeah, Cyberpunk is 30 FPS. Steam Deck rewards, okay.
You might get rewards.
30 FPS still.
I don't know. Every time I turn on Dutch, you get rewards and I get monies.
look at the size of this thing, but it feels good.
Okay, so yeah.
There you go. So, no RTS though, you know, RTX. Excuse me, RTX. Ray tracing.
No ray tracing.
But again, you know, and it's at 720p, I believe. Okay, so I wish I could play this and, you know, but there's Cyberpunk. Yeah. Oh, nice. Somebody said something. I'm trying to play this for you guys this way. But yeah, it's dope. So right now, 30 frames a second. I'm in my apartment, you know. It's actually staying locked 30 frames. Ain't that something?
Ain't that about a bit.
Why is this thing telling me to change my look? What the fuck? Because I know they added new content to this shit. 30 frames. I'm surprised.
100 hotfixes.
Like, listen, like obviously 30 frames is not what you would want to play, but I'm like on a handheld. It's not bad,
on
man.
My Steam Deck.
I'm surprised by this, bro. Well, let me this up here again for you guys. Look at this shit on a handheld. Ain't that something? You know.
That's the future, right there.
Yeah. So yeah, if you got questions, hit me. But no.
Oh, something. I heard something happen.
So I have a question, Tony.
My baby, what's up?
Do you envision? I know your disdain for indie games. Do you plan on playing any like indie games on the Steam Deck?
Do I plan to play any indie games?
Yeah, like
no, those, no, no, Carlos. I ask you, do I plan to play any indie games?
Well, I know it might seem like a silly question to ask, but you know, the Steam Deck is some, you know, it can entice people to play different types of experiences.
Nah, not me. You know me. I like, regardless of the console or platform, I like the games I like, you know?
Mm.
Because I've heard some people say that, like, they say, like, they prefer playing certain genres on this than an actual PC. I kind of find that weird. I'm like, why? It's the same thing, you know?
Oh, I don't. I understand. I understand completely. Because, for example, if I want to play, like, Mark of the Ninja or Braid, I feel like I'd rather play those on a portable
interesting than
a big screen. It's like, you know, why do I need a big-ass screen to play such a low
yeah. One step that, no, it doesn't come with a screen protector. I'm going to buy one. You already know. See, I'll play this type of shit, though. Sonic Mania, you know? And on this.
Speaking
of a game made by an indie developer.
Yeah, even though it's by Sega, so it's not really an indie game.
No, it's not by Sega. It's by an indie developer.
It's published by Sega, so it's not an indie.
It's published by Sega, yeah. but that doesn't mean it much.
Yeah, it does, because Sega's not an indie and publisher.
And it looks like an indie game.
Yeah, but look at this shit. Actually, this was not indie looking, you know, 20 years ago, you know?
No, but it is an indie developed game.
Yeah, but not an indie published game. But look at this shit. But by the way, this is the first game. This is actually the first game I tried, because I'm like, I need to, because this thing feels like a Game Gear, right? I'm like, let's do it right, you know?
So why do you care who publishes a game, but not who develops it?
Oh, because distinctions exist for a reason, Brett.
No, that doesn't
it usually
make
refers
sense
to who developed the game, because
well, indie to me is more of a budget, you know, indie mindset. You know what I'm saying? Like, budget is obviously an aspect of indie, but it's really like an indie like mindset. Even indie developers say that shit. You know, Sonic games were not fucking indie games, so that doesn't count.
Well, they weren't 20 years ago when they looked like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Dick Head Studios. It wasn't developed by Sega.
Yeah, but it was still published by Sega, so not an indie game. But yeah, Steam Deck, fucking dope. If you could get it, I suggest you get it. Again, great entry point for PC gaming, I believe. Like, you know, if you don't want to go through all the bells and whistles and do all this other stuff, pay $1,000 like I have, you know. And ironically, I probably won't be playing Steam Deck very much often, because I'm like, I got a big TV. I could just play my games on this. But I wanted to support them because I think it's really cool technology, you know. And also, I want to say, fuck you, Nintendo. This is the real deal, you know.
Oh, dirt. Well, and not only that, but you have such a vast amount of games on your Steam library. It's like, why not have a portable console whenever you go to Vegas or LA or something, and you know, you have hundreds of games literally on your fingertips.
The
you
funny thing is that after my first trip to LA, because I was like, oh, I gotta go ham. I brought the 3DS, I brought the Vita. I never played a single game that entire time. So when I travel, I actually don't bring any portables. It doesn't make any sense. I'm never gonna play these things, you know.
I think I platinumed Metal Gear Solid 2.
Yeah, you did. I remember that, Brian. You were gonna say
Go ahead, man. So now we have to run the test in about 6 months. We have to see how much dust is on your Steam Deck.
Oh no, that's the thing. my Switch, for example, is immaculate because of the same reason. It's in a case.
It'll be in a case. You know, how dusty is that case?
yeah. How dusty is the case? But no, Steam Deck, great piece of technology. It's fucking awesome. Good shit.
Brian was gonna say.
Yeah,
something.
Brian, what's up?
Oh no, I was about to say, when you like were mentioning that you like use it when you were traveling, so I was like, yeah, so traveling to Vegas and New Orleans maybe.
Oh shit, New Orleans, excuse me? Let's go. But New Orleans is only like a 2-hour trip.
Round two.
Yeah, actually wait, if it's a 2-hour trip, I could play the entire thing, you know, in one trip, you know, and probably still have a little bit to go.
Yeah, man, you could play a Telltale game in that time.
So interesting, my battery is at 38, and obviously, you know, like the Nintendo Switch, you just click on the power button, it goes into standby mode, you know. So yeah, good stuff. I'm very, very impressed. Again, what I like is the feel. I'm like, damn, this is good, you know. Yeah, good on you, Valve. Fingers. Yeah, when it hits the fingers, it's so good, you know. Good stuff. So look out for my review. I'm gonna have fun doing that.
Here's an interesting question. Like, the one thing about it is, I guess everything will be as at your fingertips, but at the same time, it's like, Well, then again, you're a unique situation. No, never mind.
Okay, fair enough.
Never mind.
Yeah.
But never mind, because it's like, you know, because you're home most of the time. Obviously, you're not going to be playing a handheld, and obviously no. you're not going to be...
Like I said, I mostly bought it just because I want to, because I think it's cool tech, and I want to support Valve in doing this, but I'm probably not going to be playing it that much. Just again, mm-hmm. if I'm going to play any kind of game, why am I going to play it on a little handheld when I got a big TV right there, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just as simple as that. But I think it's cool. And obviously, people come over, hey, check this shit out. This is cool, you know? But yeah.
By the way, I do have a final question. It's not about the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Someone asked in the chat, I think it was Logic Wins. He said, are we going to stream the Xbox conference on Sunday?
Did we do it last year?
I think we did because. You know, every time we have an Xbox conference, we always reference back to the one where they announced the Xbox One or the Xbox Series X.
let's look this up. If we did it last year, we'll do it again this year.
Well, I mean, if it is a actual conference, I couldn't see why not, right?
Because, you know, for example, the Summer Games Fest is understandable because it's during working hours. So, you know, we probably won't do that.
Yeah, we did. So, we're doing it again. Yeah, it says Xbox Bethesda Game Showcase live reactions 11 months ago. So yes, we did. All right,
Logic Wins.
There you go. There's your answer.
Shout out to Logic Wins. He's the one that made this all possible.
yeah, for real. When is it? This Sunday, right? And it's a Sunday, so I definitely will be around for that.
I ain't going to church that day.
You know, cool. All right, live stream. What time is that, Carlos?
Oh shit! Let me see. Let me check Jeff Keighley's timeline.
Right. Motherfuckers have to get up at 9 a.m. or something.
Mr. Keighley.
Or is that at night?
No, it's usually in the mid.
So we're going to do two shows that day then.
The upcoming Xbox and Bethesda 2022 showcase will air Sunday, June 12th, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. Okay, so what we'll do is.
It's pretty much the old time that they would always do their presentation.
Okay, so we'll do the live reactions at 1, and then that night, you know, we'll do the question show where you guys will ask those questions about that Xbox show. Perfect. And you know, fucking Summer Games Fest, because that's on Thursday.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Yeah, no live stream for that, though. I'm not going to be around. But unless you guys want to fucking do it, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Actually, you know what, given the nature of that, probably don't want to live stream that shit, you know? you know it's going to be half commercials. Minimum half commercials. Anyway,
if we get proven wrong, we'll stream next year.
Yeah, right.
We'll see. Hey, Tony, how come I didn't see no Elden Ring?
Where? Oh, because I have it on PS5.
Yo, man, get that shit on you. You know? Elden Ring.
I'm good. I'm good. I beat the game already. I've got the platinum. I'm good. You know, it would be nice if there was like a transfer thing, right?
man, I wish.
You know. Anyway, I think we're done here, man. So good show. Shout out to everybody in the chat who joined us. You guys are awesome. All right. Do we have anything to plug around here?
Let's see. Oh, well, you know, let's just talk about that. Like, recently,
we'll talk about that.
We premiered the episodes of Throwdown Draws where I draw a Soul Reaver piece of Raziel and Kane. So that should be, it's all up on there if you got a lot of time. Because took a lot of time to do it. But if you have the time and you want to watch it, or you can watch it and fast forward, it's all up there on the our Throwdown YouTube channel. So you can watch all those episodes back to back. It's all in the side of the Throwdown Draws playlist, or you could just let them run. They all run right into each other. So there you go. And before that is I had the Power Rangers versus Godzilla that just came out, and the Transformers Beast Wars, which also came out from IDW. And of course, as always, I have things in the making, things that are cool, and I'll let you know what they are.
Yeah. And like I said, look out for my Steam review. That'll be up hopefully by the end of the week, because I'm going to be in Apple land tomorrow with the WWDC shit. So,
Oh, that's tomorrow?
Yeah, that's tomorrow. Yeah, so we shall see what they have. It's going to be just software stuff, but who knows? Maybe we'll get the new MacBook Air. we shall see. All right, people, we're done here, man. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter and join the Discord where it's always popping, where Mob Hits lives in the Discord, you know?
Got the rumors.
Got the rumors. There's going to be plenty of rumors this week, you know?
There's always a little noises on the Discord. Like, you know, it's somebody's always talking on our Discord.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to Fergus Mills, man. Yeah. He's going to Korea for the first time in a couple of years.
Oh, shit, let's go. Yeah, man, that's why you got to turn notifications off, you know? He's obviously on that fucking Discord, you know? Make sure you follow Throwdown on any podcast app on the planet, Throwdown Show. ThrowdownShow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, especially the plentiful content this week, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres or any other random things go live. As always, links are down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Majoma.
According to a genius out there in Kotaku, there is a difference between Africans and black people.
I'm not going to get into that. Although Africans will tell you there's a difference, but, you know.
And black people.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they will tell you that, too. It's kind of interesting how that works. Anyway, we'll see you on Thursday. And we're going to have a big week next week, so stay tuned for that. Later.
Later.
Gotta watch Hell in a Cell. I think it's...